अधम धव कुंज बिहारी राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जयो राधा कुंज बिहारी राधा कुंज बिहारी राधे जयो गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय जय जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्री श्री राधा कुंज बिहारी जी की श्री श्री गौनिथाय की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 42 chapter entitled Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening. Is sound enough for everybody? Are you able to hear? No, I think sound is less. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yes, okay. Diti Ruvacha Vadam Bhagavatam Sakshad Suna Bhodara Bhavuna Asha Se Putra Yor Mayam. Ma Kruddhad Brahmanad Pabho Diti Ruvacha Vadam Bhagavatam Sakshat Suna Bhodara Bhavuna Asha Se Putra Yor Mayam Ma Kruddhad Brahmanad Prabho Diti Ruvacha Vadam Bhagavata Sakshad Suna Bhodara Bahuna Asha Se Putra Yor Mayam Ma Kruddhad Brahmanad Prabho Diti Ruvacha. Diti said, Vadham, by killing, Bhagavata, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sakshad, directly, Sunabha, with his Sudarshan weapon, Udara, very magnanimous, Bahuna, by the arms, Asha se, I desire, Putrayo, of the sons, Mayam, of mine, Ma, never be it so, Kruddhat, by the rage, Brahmanat, of the Brahmanas, Prabho, O my husband. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Text number 42, the translation and the purport are as follows. Diti said, it is very good that my sons will be magnanimously killed by the arms of the Personality of Godhead with his Sudarshana weapon. O my husband, may they never be killed by the wrath of the Brahminical devotees, Brahmana devotees. Purport. When Diti heard from her husband that the great souls would be angered by the activities of her sons, she was very anxious. She thought that her sons might be killed by the wrath of the Brahmanas. The Lord does not appear when the Brahmanas become angry at someone, because the wrath of Brahman is sufficient in itself. He certainly appears, however, when his devotee simply becomes sorry. A devotee of the Lord never prays to the Lord to appear for the sake of the troubles of the miscreants cause for him. He never bothers him by asking for protection. Rather, the Lord is anxious to give protection to the devotees. Diti knew well that the killing of her sons by the Lord would be also his mercy. And therefore she says that the will and the arms of the Lord are magnanimous. If someone is killed by the will of the Lord and is thus fortunate enough to see the arms of the Lord, that is sufficient for his liberation. Such good fortune is not achieved even by the great sages. Just for the sake of reference, we will read a few shlokas before translations. The beautiful Diti said, my dear Brahmanas, kindly see that my embryo is not killed by Lord Shiva, the Lord of all living entities, because the great offense that I have committed against him. Let me offer my obeisances unto the angry Lord Shiva, who is simultaneously the very ferocious, great demigod and the fulfiller of all material desires. He is all auspicious and forgiving, but his anger can immediately move him to chastise. Let him be pleased with us, since he is my brother-in-law, the husband of my sister Sati. He is also the worshipable lord of all the women. He is the personality of all opulences and can show mercy towards women who are excused even by the uncivilized hunters. Maitreya said, the great sage Kashyapa thus addressed his wife, who was trembling because of fear of her husband was offended. She understood that he had been dissuaded from his daily duties of offering evening prayers. Yet she desired the welfare of her children in the world. The learned Kashyapa said, because of your minds being polluted, because of defilement of the particular time, because of your negligence of my directions, and because of your being apathetic to the demigods, everything is inauspicious. O haughty one, you will have two contemptuous sons born of your condemned womb. Unlucky woman, they will cause constant lamentation to all the three worlds. They will kill poor, faultless living entities, torture women, and enrage the great souls. At that time, the Lord of the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the well-wisher of all living entities, will descend and kill them, just as Indra smashes the mountains with his thunderbolts. And then Diti is replying in this verse, it is very good that my sons will be magnanimously killed by the arms of the Personality of Godhead with his Sudarshan weapon. O my husband, may they never be killed by the wrath of the Brahmana devotees. A person who is condemned by the Brahmanas and is always fearful of other living entities is not favored by either by those who are already in hell, by those in species in which he is born. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Yananjana Shalakaya. So, brief background of this particular verse and chapter. All of us know that Daksha had 13 daughters, and these 13 daughters were told by Daksha to choose their husband, and all the 13 they chose Kashyapa Muni, and they were duly married to Kashyapa Muni. And Diti was one of them, Aditi was one of them, and Sati was also sister of all these Aditi, and she was married to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva was the brother-in-law of Diti and Aditi, as Sati was their sister. And Aditi gave birth to all the demigods because of her union with her husband Kashyapa Muni. And Diti became lusty at the evening time for sandhi, time for sandhi vandana, sandhya vandana. At that time she became very lusty, and she started pleading her husband to fulfill her desire. And husband Kashyapa was very controlled, but at the same time he was not a pure devotee. So she flattered him, she glorified him, she instigated him, and he told that this is not auspicious time. At this time, Lord Shiva, with all his ganas and bhutas and pretas and vetaras and dakinis, is moving around in the atmosphere. And it is very dangerous to have union at this time. Wrong entities, heinous entities will be born. But still, she was so much overwhelmed by the power of lust that she pulled dhoti of her husband and took him inside. And thus the union took place. And thus Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born. And at that time when the union took place, Kashyapa Muni actually was very angry himself also. But somehow, because he also was not able to contain his wife, neither he could contain himself. And he said that the time was very inauspicious. At such times when Lord Shiva is moving around, because all these bodiless, ghostly entities take shelter of Lord Shiva, it becomes Lord Shiva's one way duty to shelter them and to always look around where they can get a body. That means they can take birth and thus gain the method or way of salvation from this world. As they are hanging in the subtle body only, no gross body available, and they are suffering, so Lord Shiva, out of his great compassion, as he is the most merciful demigod, he is moving around at evening time, and whoever indulges in sex at this time, he allows those ghostly living entities to take birth in that womb. This is very significant for all of us grihasthas to know that there are times of union. Even animals, even birds, even reptiles, even insects, they have their time of union. It is only human being who behaves irrationally, independently and illogically and out of all the rules and regulations. In my childhood, I have read one poem by one great poet, Hindi poet. He said that in the poetry that not a single living entity in the creation of the Lord breaks the laws of nature. They all have ahara, nidra, bhaya, maithun. They are all engaged in the activities. But never ever any living entity, including a dog, or a bird or insect, insignificant insect also, does not break the laws of nature in terms of ahar nidra bhaya maithun. Which means, for example, if an animal is a vegetarian animal, it will never eat non-vegetarian food. Or a tiger will die, but never eat grass out of hunger. You know, see, this is a very logical thing. Tiger will never die. I mean, tiger will never eat grass because he is hungry to the point of death. And cow will not eat flesh just because she is hungry. Both of them will give up their life, but not give up their nature or the laws under which they live their life. Certainly, human being is only personality that will behave. Human being will behave irrationally at all points of time. Do anything at any time. Just before coming over here, I just learned that there was one patient to Giriraj Prabhu, a lady, you know, young girl. She sleeps at 5 a.m. and wakes up at 5 p.m. every day. So 5 p.m. she is brushing her teeth that we do in the morning at 4:30. And that's how her life starts. And whole night she's up doing some nonsensical activities. Young, beautiful, educated girl, but sleeps at 5 a.m. in the morning. This only human beings do, huh? Nobody can do this. No other living entity can imagine doing this. Only we do this. So in one sense, we have been given great opportunity in a human body to attain salvation, to attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. But at the same time, lot of liberty also is given to us. Lot of independence, lot of freedom, lot of space is given to us. You know, today everybody talks about space. I want my space, you know. So lot of space is given to human beings to do whatever they like, the way they like, and whatever time and conditions they like to do it in. And exactly that liberty which is given to actually attain the lotus feet of the Lord is misused, misutilized by human beings. It's a very unfortunate condition. That is why when such things happen, the human beings are punished. When the tiger eats meat by killing an animal, tiger is not punished by the laws of nature. Even if it is very ghastly scene is there, you know, how tiger jumps and runs and catches the prey and how he eats it mercilessly, killing the animal. Even though such heinous activities performed by tiger or a lion or other animal, they are not punished by the laws of nature. But when a human being does that, he is punished very severely by the laws of nature. because of the intelligence, because of the facility, because of the opportunity of liberation, opportunity of understanding Lord, because of the brain that the Lord has given, because of the so many facilities of speech and arts and so many wonderful qualities, opportunities that we have been received. So much is given, so much is expected. So there is also punishment like that. So those living entities, those human beings who come together in the evening time when there is combining of day and night called Sandhikal, all these heinous living entities who are hanging in the form of ghostly forms, they enter in the womb of those human beings. This is very significant and we have to keep note of this. There are times for sadhana in the morning, that is Brahma Murta. There are times for doing worldly activities of earning money or doing business or so many things, duties. There are times for prayers, as in the morning sandhi, afternoon sandhi and evening sandhi, we are supposed to pray, sit down in meditation and prayers. There are times for husband and wife to come together to have progeny. The time to sleep also. And then there is a time where the time is influenced by mode of ignorance, where all the sinful living entities come forward and they perform, you know, robberies and rapes and all those murders and all those other activities. So each time has got its own significance. Sadhus, they sleep when there is influence of mode of ignorance in the time. They go to take rest. And all the sinful entities wake up at that time, start performing the activities. And when they go to sleep, after enjoying or whatever doing they are doing in the time of mode of ignorance, they go to sleep, at that time sadhus wake up. So when they are fast asleep, sadhus are fully awake, trying to meditate and think about the Lord, pray to the Lord. So we are very fortunate actually. We have been, by the mercy of Prabhupada, we have been awarded the best time in life, so that we can relish, appreciate the beauty of that time. I had one of my colleagues in the college when I was studying in medicine, and she had rheumatoid arthritis, you know, severe joint pains and swellings and pain conditions are there. And such patients cannot wake up in the morning, because morning time, even if it is not winter, it is very cold for them. They suffer. So till the sun comes up, their joints don't move. So I would always tell that friend of mine that why don't you wake up sometime at 4 o'clock and see how the beautiful world around you, how peaceful and how serene and how sanctified the atmosphere is, and how you feel peaceful and how you feel immediately prayerful just by the influence of time. So she said, "Wo Brahma Muhurta aapko hi mubarak ho." Main nahi uth sakti subah. So this is misfortune. But Srila Prabhupada has made such a schedule for us that we are up in the morning to greet the deities, to chant the holy name, to worship Tulsi. Maximum benefit of spiritual life is derived in the early morning times. And the devotees are most enthusiastic to do so. Sometimes at the sacrifice of sleep, even if there is an urge to sleep, continue sleeping, still the experience that the devotees have enjoyed by being awake in the morning, chanting the holy names, is much more powerful than the urge of sleep that is pushing you to go to sleep and continue sleeping. Yes, it is going to give pleasure when you continue sleeping, but at the same time, when we have relished the pleasure of being up in that time, chanting the holy name in the company of devotees, that overwhelms, that defeats the urge of sleep, and we wake up and we jump and we come to the devotees, to temple. So that is because of the mercy of Prabhupada. If there was not a single devotee and only deities were there, and you are the only person in temple and you are told to wake up in the morning to come and chant the holy name in Brahma Murta, you will find it most boring, because whom will you chant with? You need company of devotees. So why I said Prabhupada's mercy? Because Prabhupada also gave us the company of devotees. And that's why this very powerful and most fortunate, auspicious time of Brahma Murta has become very relevant, has become very relishable and pleasurable for the devotees. The potency of that time can be fully appreciated when devotees are around. And then naturally when we finish our duties in the morning, and Prabhupada said that 42 of the 64 items of devotional service are fulfilled just by attending morning program. Knowingly, unknowingly. Just by simply following the morning program till prasad. 42 of 64 items of devotional service given by Rupa Goswami are done. Sometimes you can do the research. You can read the 64 items and see of 64 items how many items we are doing automatically, but just by being here in the morning. So that is the power of time. Time is very, very powerful in the material world. One cannot escape the influence of time. We are bound by times of childhood. In childhood, everybody is playful. Nobody understands the seriousness of life. Nobody understands duty boundness. Nobody understands all the activities that we are supposed to do. We want to simply play. Even if we don't want to eat also. Children sometimes, they become malnourished. Not because they are poor. They don't feel like eating. They are simply playing all the day. And night they are crying because their legs are paining. And the parents are massaging the feet of the children because the legs are paining because of overplaying in the daytime. This is childhood. So much time goes away. Then youth comes with full of gush of lust and worldly activities. And we get simply enamored and get carried away by the waves, by the gushes of lusty desires. And so much time goes in those activities. And then comes middle age. You settle down maybe after relishing here and there some worldly desires and enjoyments. Then sickness comes. And in sickness, most active, most healthy person appears to be lethargic. The legs are paining, his blood pressure is high, his sugars are going high, he's having headache in the sun, and he has to sit inside indoors. His heart trouble is there. So many troubles and so many diseases and so many ailments are there. And the books and books and volumes of books are there. Unlimited diseases that haunt us. And then we become old and we start repenting. Oh, so much life has gone. Bachpan neend mein soya. One song was there in childhood. Used to hear in movie. And budapa dekh kar roya. So, such influence is there. The body, when it grows in a particular phase of life, it carries its own guna. Childhood body, playfulness. Youthful body, sex and worldly desires. And old body means worry and disease. And then death. So this is called as natural phenomenon of life. Every one of us undergoes this phenomenon of life. But how to counteract this phenomenon of life is simply by devotional service. When we take shelter of devotional service, there's this phenomenon of childhood, youth, middle age, old age, disease and death can be counteracted actually. We see that children in Krishna consciousness were born to devotees. Right from birth, they are taking mala, fighting with parents who give them, have mala, their own mala, their own bead bag, and they want to bow down to deities, they want to go to temple, they want to spend time in temple, they want to participate in the activities of temple. It's very unusual, you know. If you see the world outside, who wants to go to temple in childhood? They want to just go to football stadium or cricket match. And play with bat and ball and football. Spend time in playing and doing nonsense activities. Watch television, cartoons. But devotee children are more happy with being with devotees. Taking darshan with deities, taking prasadam, dancing in the kirtan. Naturally they just raise their hands and start dancing, I saw yesterday also when I was giving class, some father came with a small baby in the hand. And there was Guru Puja going on. The child is naturally clapping the hands. Such sweet darshan this is. When we see that natural inclination of devotee children is to clap when the holy name is being sung and chanted. And then when youth comes, if already one is a devotee, one is trained how to accept married life, one is trained in brahmacharya, how to control senses. So the same worldly forces which overwhelm others who are not devotees become actually a favorable wind for the devotee to make progress in Krishna consciousness. The same urges can be molded, can be utilized in service to the Lord. The Lord has already told, whatever I have given in this material world, which overwhelms others into hellish activities, the same things move devotees towards Him. They just molded. It's like when you go in the ocean, wherever the breeze froze, they change the direction and take the benefit of the breeze and go along with the breeze to travel. They don't struggle with the breeze of the ocean. The struggle, they only have to sink. There's nothing else. So what is the wisdom? Go along with it. Similarly, when we are in Bhavasagar, in this material world, and there are natural known forces of time, we should go along with that. We should not just struggle with that. Go along with that, then it will be successful. Because by knowledge we understand that these forces of material world cannot be overcome by any living human being or any living entity. Only when Supreme Lord assists us, we can go along with that and not get affected by that. So that is why bhakti is very important. In devotional service, we learn how to utilize our time. Another influence of our time is various. One is in the daytime. The most auspicious time is in the morning. In a fortnight, the most auspicious time is Ekadashi. Right? We are very close to the cosmic consciousness, supreme consciousness of Lord, spiritual consciousness. So we take the benefit of that and we lower down our material activities, like bodily activities, eating, sleeping, we decrease that. And more time we use in chanting the holy name and serving the Lord. So two Ekadashis come in one each fortnight. One Ekadashi, one fortnight. So two Ekadashis in a month. Then in a year, what happens? What is the auspicious time? Chaturmasya. In a year, there are 4 months which are more auspicious and more favorable to bhakti. In those 4 months, the last month is more auspicious, most auspicious is Kartik month. And like that, there is some time in many, many years comes that Adhik Mas comes, which is the fifth month of Chaturmas. And that is called as Purushottam Mas. And the maximum benefit of time in the terms of years comes in that month. In this month, this year also, there is the first month is going to be Adhik Mas. Huh? So we can see that there are times, even in Christianity, there is some Mother Mary's fasting in the month of December, and some fasting in the month of July. All this time, in the Muslim understanding, there is a month of Ramadan in a year where everybody fasts from, and ideally speaking, they're supposed to not indulge in sense gratification and more worship the Lord, offer extra prayers in the middle of the night also. In their custom, in a week, Friday is supposed to be auspicious. So you see, this influence of time is in every walk of religion in the world. And auspicious times are described and defined in every religion. And we have to understand this principle of the time and its auspiciousness, and go along with that and get maximum benefit. Thus, the effect of time will not be upon us. What is the effect of time upon us? That time takes everything away from us. That is the nature of time. This time is present in the material world, and the time is absent in the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, because time is, inconspicuous by its, presence or absence? Absence, yes. This time is inconspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world. That is why there is no birth there. There is no old age there. There is no death there. There is no disease there. All these things occur because of the influence of time in the material world. This is the time who actually makes us take birth at a certain time, get conceived, get delivered, appear in the world, and then get sick and get diseased and gradually get old and one day die. The body which is accepted has to be given up. This is influence of time. At the same time, whatever we acquire, the money or so-called youth and beauty, energy, intelligence, everything gets decayed gradually. Is that right? Nothing remains constant. If today you think and I think we are intelligent, tomorrow we will not be. We get Alzheimer's disease, or we will get dementia in the course of time. And nobody is free from this. Huh? Please understand. Don't think that only few people get Alzheimer's disease and I am going to be free from that. The beginning stage of Alzheimer's is dementia, forgetfulness, lack of coherence in brain, lack of understanding, lack of putting things in place, right place, understanding them in that place. This Akalan Shakti is lost. And that is true for every aging personality. And as and when we do more and more sinful, the time becomes more powerfully acting upon us. How? If we break the laws of nature, the time makes you disease faster, time makes you get old faster, time makes you forget things faster. If you eat meat, kill animals and eat meat, the dementia sets in faster. So see how the things are subtly and very nicely arranged by the Lord. We may think we are very intelligent human beings. We can surpass the nature by power of our research and intelligence. But the more we try to surpass the laws of nature and break the laws of nature, the time factor of the material world becomes more effective on us. And we become old faster and become diseased faster and become age faster. And old age and death is coming closer and closer and closer. We are hearing of young boys of 25 getting global heart attack. That means complete heart attack. Causing death also. Not now. When I was young, 10 year old, in my building also I saw young men just married 23, 24 years died of heart attack. Which is unheard of in even that time. And today is so common. You go to hospital, you will come to know. Why this is happening? Because the man who is given so much of freedom in Kali Yuga is misusing the freedom that he has been given. And that's why time, which has its own speed of affecting our life, becomes very fast in affecting our life. And that's how we suffer. And we have to know this science, that this time is going to affect us. We want to get oblivious or we want to get immune to the effects of time. Not that we are not going to get old, just because we chant Hare Krishna. We will get old. But the dreadful effects of time will not affect us apparently, because spiritual life will render us go above the material strata. And because we get situated on the spiritual platform, the effects of time don't seem to affect us. They are there. We will get old. But the suffering of that situation will not be affecting us. We will get some sorrow. Like Sridhar Maharaj always would say that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. You can choose to suffer or not if something happens. Maybe 1 crore rupees lost. You may beat your chest and cry for 10 days without sleeping in the night. Or you may say, well, it has to go. It went away. I accept the mercy of the Lord. And you may choose not to suffer because of the loss of 1 crore rupees. Or you may suffer 15 days of your life, forgetting everything. So pain will be there. The loss will be there. But the suffering of the loss may be there, may not be there, as per your consciousness. So like that, when we become devotees, how do we transcend the effects of time? That because we situate ourselves on spiritual platform, and spiritual platform is bereft of the effect of time that is available in the material world. And that's why devotees, even materially speaking also, sometimes they look very young, they look very sharp. At old age, their memory is very sharp. You see many gurus in ISKCON also. They know devotees by name. Even after 15 years, they meet a disciple or a known person. They will recall the names of their wife and children also. That is spiritual. There is the power of spirituality. So thus, by accepting spiritual life, it is an intelligence on our part. Sign of intelligence. That we also want to be comfortable in the material world while we are in this body. Knowing well what the body can give you because of influence of time. And when we chant Hare Krishna and serve the devotees and serve the Lord, get engaged in pure devotional service, automatically we transcend the effect of time. We will definitely die, which is effect of time. But death usually makes us take birth again in the material world. That is the power of death in the form of time. Time affects us in the form of death. And we are forced to again to go into another womb of in the material world. But when we become devotees, what happens? We do die. We have to give up this body. But we attain spiritual world. That is conquering the effects of time. So Krishna says, time I am, destroyer of all. Destroyer of all, that is material. Please understand. Not that is spiritual. Whatever is spiritual that you have attained in this life cannot be touched by the power of time. that is immune to the power of time. And that is a great hope for us. That today I chant Hare Krishna, I chant one mantra attentively, all the benefit of that one mantra chanted attentively will be with me irrespective of my old age, disease time, death time, or rebirth time, or whatever time. It will always come with me. And rest, all things that we have achieved and gained will be decayed while you are in this life and will be taken away at the moment of death. I cannot say, ki, I am a doctor and I take birth again. I say, in the first year I can open my clinic and start seeing patients. No, I have to go to first standard again, A, B, C, D. I have to go to nursery again. Go to school, primary, pre-primary, secondary. Again, give exams. Maybe that time there are new exams and new sets of all India, all state exams. And again struggle to become qualified in the given situations at that moment of time. But I end my spiritual life at a particular level of advancement. The moment I take next birth, I begin from that point. That is transcending the effect of time in the material world. And that is our fortune. It is not that we are gaining something. It's we are already availing that is available to us. Whatever is available to us, whatever is given to us, we are just availing that. That's all. This is material life. This is spiritual life. These are the effects available to you. You choose by the power of intelligence that is given to you. And we appear extraordinary by transcending the effects of time on our life. And this is the beauty of spiritual life. So here, Kashyapa Muni is telling that you have done activity which is wrong time, wrong activity at wrong time. So definitely two heinous, ghastly, demoniac sons will be born. And they will disturb everybody. They'll exploit women, torture children, harass everybody, give pain to everybody. The whole world will be trembling by their activities. Frustrated demigods, good people, brahmanas, everybody will be frustrated. And who will like to have children like this, you know? Anybody would like to dream for a children like that? My child should become destroyer of the whole world, you know. I dream that my child should be so powerful that everyone should be fearful of that child. Even thought of that child should tremble everybody. Nobody thinks like that. So even Diti is not thinking like that. So Kashyapa Muni explains to her that they will be so atrocious in the material world that finally the Supreme Lord will appear and destroy them. Now Diti, one of the significant behavior of Diti is she was overwhelmed with the lusty activity and desire. But as soon as she got temporarily relieved of that urge, she came to her senses. And now she is repentful. What is the bhava of this shloka? She is very repentful. She is thinking that, oh, I made a mistake. First of all, I disturbed my husband from his evening prayers. Because evening time, when there is ganas and bhutas are moving around, the devotee should sit down and pray. That is why we have Sandhya Aarti. You know, how spiritual life is very beautifully organized and arranged in such a way that we knowingly or unknowingly transcend all the effects of time around us. Simply by you coming in Sandhya Aarti, you will transcend the effect of that negative time which is there. So materially it is very negative, spiritually it is very positive. So just stand here in front of Sandhya Aarti, in front of the Lord, no effect will be there upon you, all the ganas and bhutas and pretas which are moving in the sky. Right? So this is the arrangement of spiritual life. So she was repentful that I disturbed my husband in evening prayers. Second thing, I caught him and pulled him into activity which should not have been done that time. By doing this activity, I am already offended Lord Shiva. It's offense from my side. He will punish me. He is easily angered, easily pleased. So maybe he will be angry with me. But somehow, he is my brother-in-law because he is my sister's husband. So I will pray to him and I will plead to him not to affect me by his anger. So she was already repentful. And it is said that repentance is very important. One may be sinful, one may be having material desires, one may be having activities in life in the past which are heinous by the dint of our fallen nature. But if one is truly repentful, the Lord can forgive us for everything. When Jesus Christ said in the Bible, repent, repent, that thou Lord should be merciful upon you. So this repentfulness is a very important quality required for devotees. Because we have taken up spiritual life and we must have given up so many sinful activities. But we have been doing these activities even before becoming devotee in this lifetime and many, many lifetimes in the past. We have been doing these activities. So we have to be repentful. And when the repentfulness is from the heart, it has power to eradicate all our sinful reactions of the past and completely make us clean slated and become eligible to receive the mercy of the Lord. And because she was repentful, if you read the future shlokas, Kashyapa Muni says, because you are repentful and prayerful and you want to atone yourself, you want to beg forgiveness, because of this particular mood of yours, Prahlad will be born to this sinful Hiranyakashipu. That means the son, one of the sons, will be born, will be harassing the whole universe. He will get a son who will be pure devotee of the Lord. And he will purify your dynasty of the demoniac appearances. See, the Prahlad is not yet born. Even Hiranyakashipu is not yet born. See, note this point. He is much ahead of time. The time has not yet manifested Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu. And time has not yet manifested Prahlad also. But the benediction already is there in hand. That because of your mood now, Prahlad will be born in future. So how important is the consciousness of the present? Please understand. You have to understand that today we may be suffering from cancer as a reaction of my past deeds. But if today your consciousness is at a pristine, pure level, it will yield all auspicious and best things in spiritual life in future. Even at the moment of time, when she is thinking like this, she is in a very pristine Krishna conscious situation. Although she is going to get two sons who are most demoniac, but at that moment of time, she is in the best of our God consciousness, best of our spirituality. So even when we think like this, favorably for the Lord, that particular time itself is auspicious and it yield auspiciousness and spirituality for the future also in an exponentially growing way. So we have to understand that our life at current moment of time, maybe in the form of suffering, the disease or some calamities may come up. But if you are truly grateful to the Lord, that particular consciousness at that moment of time will not only yield peace and happiness at that moment, but yield great spiritual gains in the future. That's why we have to constantly cultivate Krishna consciousness. True spiritual, devotional, loving consciousness for the Lord. Spend our time constantly thinking how I can serve the Lord and His devotees. How I can please the devotees. How I can not offend the devotees and displease them by any of my gestures also, or even thought processes. This consciousness is actually the attractive thing for the Lord. For a Bhavagrahi Janardana Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, what is attractive is our consciousness. And as soon as Diti exhibited that consciousness, immediately the fruits were awarded to her. Yes, the great devotee Prahlad will be born. And what does it mean to have a devotee like Prahlad being born in our dynasty? 21 generations in the future we will read, they will be all delivered. Such kind of benediction which will be exponentially beneficial to dynasties in future. She is thinking about repentance at the moment of time, and by the dint of that Prahlad will be born, and we will read in Bhagavatam that 21 generations will be delivered by the power of Prahlad's devotion as a power of Narasimha Bhagavan's benediction to him. So see, one small atom-like consciousness now is going to yield mountain-like results in the future. And we have to have faith in that. As it has happened in the past, in the history of Bhagavatam, it will happen in my life also. Just because I have become Krishna consciousness, my child will become Krishna conscious. And generations after that will take up Krishna consciousness. That is why it is said, one devotee taking birth in the family of worldly people, delivers so many generations of devotees. And whoever, that is about generations who are connected with blood relations. But whoever will come in contact with him also will be getting delivered. Whoever will talk to him also will get delivered. Whoever he will touch and he will give prasad through his hands to people, they also will get delivered. This is so powerful. Krishna consciousness is you know, completely powerful. From all angles it is powerful. You have to just simply become Krishna conscious. And the last thing, within a few minutes, it is explained that Diti also is saying that let my children or sons, whatever you are describing, shouldn't become victims of the wrath of Brahmanas. Because he said when Brahmanas get angry, the Lord does not come. He said the wrath of Brahmanas is enough. Destroy a living entity. Destroy the living entity and send him to the most worst conditions of life. Hellish conditions of life. So he said when the Brahmanas are angry, the Lord doesn't come. The Brahmanas become sorry, they become morose, that time the Lord comes. Is it not a little tricky situation? Huh? Lord is a protector of Brahmanas. Paritranaya sadhunam. But if they are angry, the Lord knows their anger is powerful enough to destroy the miscreant. But when they become overwhelmed and become helpless, that time the Lord comes. So when the Mother Earth takes the form of a devotee cow and goes running, at that time Lord takes a decision to take birth. But when King Vena was performing wrong activities, what happened? The Brahmanas cursed him, finished him. So this is the situation. Brahmanas, in one sense, today are not available. Today's age is so fallen. The true Brahmanas are not available. Today's Brahmanas actually are devotees of Krishna. Those who chant Hare Krishna, they achieve Brahminical nature. By the dint of their devotion, they become Brahminical in nature. So what we have to take purport at today's time, that we should scare ourselves. We should be scared to offend Vaishnavas. And that Diti is fully aware of that. But when devotees are offended, Lord becomes very angry. And he gives us such worst situations in life. What is the worst situation that happens when we offend devotees? Our devotional sentiment is lost. Our devotional inclination is lost. The opportunity of human life that is given to us in the form of availing spiritual life, that is lost. Money will keep coming. You will become more prosperous materially. Huh? And you may think, see, I am not chanting Hare Krishna, still I am getting richer. But the greatest opportunity that we have to become Krishna conscious, to deliver ourselves from cycle of birth and death, the desire, the taste of spiritual life will be lost. And those who understand the value of the taste of spiritual life, they will know what loss is there when that taste is lost. Those who don't understand and they offend Vaishnavas, they don't even know what is the taste of spiritual life. And what will be lost when we lose that taste of spiritual life. So she says that it is very fortunate of my sons if they are killed by the wrath of the Lord. The Sudarshan weapon, the wheel of the Lord. If that is killing the Lord, and if they can see the beautiful arm of the Lord while he is doing so, they will be very fortunate. Because anybody who will be killed by the Lord or any weapon of the Lord or anybody just has darshan of one of the bodily parts of the Lord, that itself is a way of liberation for that person. However sinful and fallen that person may be, however demoniac or rascal that person may be, if he gets an opportunity to see one portion of the body of the Lord, he is surely liberated. Where exactly he will go after liberation, that Lord will decide. But liberation is guaranteed. I was one time in Radha Vallabh temple in Vrindavan. And Radha Vallabh temple Goswami was telling me, look at the Lord, how nicely he is decorated. And he said, do you know why he is decorated so beautifully? Maybe while you see the Lord, maybe some ornament you like, and your mind will get attached to that, and you will go home and remember that ornament somewhere in the bloom of the time, you know, that will deliver you. That is why the Lord is decorated like that. The Lord can be one put, you know, one dhoti and one chadar, that's it. It's also enough. The Lord is itself, himself, so beautiful, transcendentally. But he's decorated in this material world, in the deity worship, so beautifully, so that people like us can get hooked to some of the aspect of the personality of the body of the Lord. Maybe you like some bracelet on the hand. Maybe you like some ankle bells. Maybe you like the way Radharani is holding the garland in the hand. Maybe you like the way the pick of feather is put on the land of the Lord. You know? Maybe you like the garland that is put on the Lord. The way he is holding the flute. The way the garland is hanging on the flute. You can just see. That's why we have to see the Lord you know, with a great intent in the heart. Not just mechanically bow down and go away. There's one something called as dekhna and something called niharna. There's something difference is there. When a mother sees the child and you see somebody's child, there's a great difference in that. The mother sees the child, she'll keep on seeing only. She will just keep on, will, eyes also will not blink. She'll keep on seeing the child with so much of love. So the beauty of the child is in the love in the eyes of the mother. Is that right? Similarly, if you love the Lord, then you will not take your eyes off the Lord. The people who dress the Lord, the way they see the darshan in the morning is different than all those who don't dress the Lord. They will keep watching, oh, it's looking so nice the way I put peacock feather. And I discuss with my friend, I'll put it like this. He was arguing with me. But still I said, we'll put it like that today. And so it's so beautiful. It's so looking so beautiful today. So I've always seen this. People who dress the Lord and they come out for darshan, their discussions are different and their observation is different than everybody else. But still, we should practice how to take darshan of the Lord. How to observe everything that is born to the Lord. Because every activity and everything that is on the body of the Lord is a manifestation of love of the devotees. And with the same love, maybe with more love, you have to observe the Lord. And maybe something which strikes you today, in today's darshan, and you remember that and you meditate that, and it reminds you somewhere where you're out, that beautiful thing that Lord was wearing today. Life is successful. That's what Radhesh Lal Goswami told me. That we should take the darshan of the Lord in such a way that after going away from the Lord also, some things should strike you, remind you of the Lord. One particular ornament, or one particular thing that is on the body of the Lord. The Lord's darshan is meant to be captured in the heart, not on the retina of the eye only, through the pupils. It is supposed to be captured or developed on the screen of the heart permanently. When that meditation takes place, then we are constantly delivered and liberated. That is the power of Krishna consciousness. We may not be yet liberated on the bodily platform. We may be still living in this body. But we will be eternally liberated from now onwards only if we learn this art of meditating on the Lord and remembering the Lord constantly. And Prahlad Maharaj taught us the principle of remembrance. How powerful, how transcendental he was just because of the power of remembrance. So Diti is mentioning here, it's good fortune of my sons when they will be killed by the weapon of the Lord, if they happen to see the beautiful arm of the Lord, that is the perfection of their life, even if they will be so sinful throughout their life. So taking forward yesterday's point of partiality, see the Lord, the people like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they were so sinful, so atrocious. They were performing atrocities, Atrocity is a very heavy word actually. Shoshan it is called as, Exploitation. Atrocity is much higher than exploitation also. Worst thing one can do. Such people also, the Lord is giving darshan of his hand, of his weapon, touches the weapon to them, kills them, gives them liberation. That is the power of the Lord. Lord that time is not discriminating. Oh, this person, no, even if my chakra will touch him, I will send him to hell only. No. By rule, when he touches his weapon to anybody, he has to get liberated. And he will decide whether to give him Sarupya, Sayukta, Sarshti, whatever liberation he will give. So Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. Why it is said all auspicious by Rupa Goswami? It is because of this. That whichever way one comes in contact with the Lord, knowingly or unknowingly, mildly or strongly, it is all beneficial, always, all the time, eternally. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. It's you said that Lord Shiva, when in the evening he is roaming, so he put these ghostly beings into the womb of Diti. But we see that Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they are also Jai Vijay. So, they were like two souls in one body, or?
No.
It's ghost also and Jai Vijay.
Well, we know the transcendental background of the story. The Jai Vijay were cursed and they were supposed to come down. This is simply the means by which they appeared in the world. That doesn't mean Jay and Vijay were ghosts. Please understand. It's like when the Lord Krishna took birth, Lord Balram took birth. There are some means, no? They have to adopt some means. They have to go in the womb of Devaki and then appear from that womb. He has to go in the womb of Rohini. It is a material means by which the Lord chooses to appear. Similarly, these are the material means by which, following the rules and regulations of the world, Jay and Vijay appeared in this world and also went through the curse that they had. It is not that they were ghosts and they were moving around with Lord Shiva and they came down. All the activities that the Lord is doing, there's a lot of lessons. So the lesson we learn here is not that Jay Vijay came through the ghostly beings into the womb of the Diti. What we learn is this time is a wrong time to come together for husband and wife in grihastha life. That is a lesson. And the knowledge that we receive that Lord Shiva is that time moving around in the space with all these entities. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. As you said, they say one should not struggle in the waves of ocean. One should go along with the waves of ocean. So one may, outside, karmi materialist person, he can argue, he can say like that. It's like, as you said, bachpan sone mein khoya, aur jawani usme khoye, budhapa dekh kar rahe. That means waves of this is going on, like along with time.
We go along with the waves of the material world in Krishna consciousness. What is the meaning of that? That daytime is supposed to be in the mode of passion. So daytime we work for Krishna and earn money for Krishna. And morning time is Brahma Murta, good for meditation. So morning time we spend time in thinking about the Lord. And night time it is mode of ignorance. We sleep during that time, not to get influenced by the mode of ignorance. That is how it means. That means whether it's mode of goodness, passion or ignorance, even in one particular unit of the day, we go along with that means what? We don't sit for meditation in the afternoon. Or we don't wake up in the middle of the night and do something when we are in conditioned state. Of course, when we become transcendental completely, we can get up at any moment and chant Hare Krishna. That's not a problem. But today, when we are in conditioned state of life, we have effect of time on us. The night time, at 9 o'clock, we start yawning, right? We don't start becoming fresher in the night time because, you know, adrenaline and other hormones are going in a different fashion in the bio cycle. So we are affected by that. So we go along with that means we don't wake up at 1 o'clock and start doing things which are supposed to be done at 4 in the morning. The meaning of going along with it means in childhood, somebody has to play. Then he plays with Krishna conscious toys and plays Krishna conscious games. Mother and father give him toys in the form of Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra or Gaur Nithai. And playfully he will, you know, take them around and jump with them, take them to garden and offer some flowers and, you know, play some games with them, tease them and talk to them and like that. That is the meaning of going along with that. Not that ki, when today now everybody plays with guns and they are all toys also like that only. Now everything is so hustly. So yes, give your children, because we have said that go along with the time. So give them guns and everything and train them into material consciousness. No. We use the same mentality, same tendencies to engage in Krishna consciousness. Yes, as a devotee also we have material desire, we want to enter into grihastha ashram. So yes, follow the rules and regulations and have Krishna conscious children. Raise them in Krishna consciousness. You have a desire of expressing your love to small beings, living entities, small living entities as your children. We have a desire to have our own children, for example. So fine. We can raise them in Krishna consciousness. So the desire of having our own children is also is fulfilled and Krishna consciousness also is cultivated. It is like that. Hare Krishna. Yes, Lord.
Hare Krishna. Just like you said about flowing with the time, we have seen devotees in the past who keep awake at night, like they're chanting at 11 o'clock, 11:30, walking, you know, in the past. Similarly, they sleep 2-3 hours in the daytime and they all have gone away. You know, they don't remain in Krishna consciousness if people don't adopt the ways that you said just now.
We cannot be fanatic. We cannot even think that we are so powerful that Lord Krishna has said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Nasmarane na kalaha, no time bondage for chanting Hare Krishna. Huh? And we chant. Then you will get deprived of sleep and you will fall sick because of so many elements will come because of lack of sleep. So even sadhus who are most elevated, they also need to sleep. But do they sleep in the daytime? They sleep in the night time only. Is that true or not? This is a practical situation. So we should never think or claim ourselves to be beyond the effects of time by the power of our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is most powerful, but we are not so transcendental to avail that power of Krishna consciousness. We should avail whatever is available for us and be truthful to our situation. Be humble enough to accept our situation that I am conditioned. And for my situation to make progress in Krishna consciousness, I must go along with the waves of time. Be practical in that sense. So, that's all right? Yeah. Yes.
Hare Krishna. As you mentioned that 42 angas of devotional service are automatically covered when we attend the morning.
It's a subject for research for you.
Can you just give an overview of what all angas of devotional service we
covered? What are that?
Just an overview of what all angas.
I don't have by heart 64 right now. But like, you know, bowing down to Tulsi, watering Tulsi, going around Tulsi, singing glories of the Lord in front of the deity of the Lord, having darshan of deities through our eyes, bowing down to Vaishnavas, Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha, chanting Narsingha prayer, taking Charanamrut, smelling the incense offered to the Lord, giving watering Tulsi, offering flower to the pure devotee of the Lord, offering aarti to the Lord, observing the aarti of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, remembering Srimad Bhagavatam, trying to meditate on the Srimad Bhagavatam while we are discussing it, honoring prasadam in the company of devotees, having association of devotees during chanting, during Mangalarti, during Bhagavatam class, bodhayanta parasparam, discussing Krishna consciousness with the devotees. These are all angas of bhakti as given by Rupa Goswami. And just by being physically present here, you will automatically undergo that. And really, you can research that, you'll understand. What I said was true in that. Yes, one.
Thank you very much for a wonderful class. You were telling about Diti's situation, that she was lamenting and she was present. You were telling that being proper in consciousness in present can bring about very good spiritual gains. Hmm. So how practically we can be in, always be in the present? Because I feel many times we always be in, you know, either past or future worrying.
The easiest way and the best way,
the best way
to be in the present is to be grateful to Krishna. The most powerful consciousness, if you have to choose of all, is to be grateful. Humbly grateful to Krishna for whatever he is offering us today. If that is possible for us, to be truly grateful, then all greatest of fortune awaits for us in the future. It is such a virtue of being grateful that in the middle of all other bad things that we have, bad things and bad desires, this one virtue will fetch us out of everything. This is what Radhana Swami has kept on always telling us, that the power of gratitude can liberate us from every single ailment of the material world. Is that right, Prabhuji? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji. You can ask the problem. Bhakti cannot be stopped. Huh. I'll repeat the question, don't worry. Huh.
Maybe affected by the same modes and these things. There is time for everything. Like we are. We say about
speak in the mic.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, one way we say bhakti is not affected by any material conditioning. So in that term, the time and the modes, surely that is a we see effect is happening on us.
Bhakti is transcendental. His question is that at one point we say bhakti is transcendental and not affected by time. Other times there are mode of ignorance, mode of variety of time is affecting on us. How do we understand and reconcile this fact, right? This is the question. See, bhakti in itself is transcendental to effect of time. But we are not transcendental, no? Prasadam is fully transcendental, 100%. But we are not transcendental. When we take gulab jamun, sugar rises. For diabetic. When you eat more salty and spicy food, you will fall sick. So the material part of the prasadam will affect your body, which is material, and the spiritual aspect of prasadam will nourish your soul. So like that, because we are not transcendental, we are in the conditioned state of life. And when we adopt the bhakti practices, to the degree we become transcendental gradually, to that degree the fullest benefits of bhakti can be availed. But till that time, whatever state of consciousness we are, will get the benefit of that. Like for example, you serve me a full plate of prasadam. There is sweet, there is dal, there is salad, there is everything. And I will see, oh, I love this very much, so I take that first. That means I'm not transcendental, you know. If I take prasad as if that ei shakka Krishna aswadilo, that's why I pick it up. Even if I like or don't like, because the fact that Krishna has accepted this, I just partake of it. I just honor it. That is transcendental. But honestly, most of the times we are not like that, right? We say, "Arey, wo karele ka sabji lao, bahut pasand hai mujhe. Arey, wo gulab jam lao, it's very nice." Because we are like that, we don't avail the full benefit. But a time may come, by cultivation and practice, you may come to a situation where you will just honor prasadam because it is only because of prasad, you honor it. Irrespective of your liking or disliking, it's being offered to Krishna, so you accept it with that consciousness. At that level of consciousness, the fullest benefit of bhakti will be available to us. But at this state of time, we are conditioned. We should know that we are conditioned. Yes?
We are struggling with these three modes of nature.
Yes.
So, how we should we put our own self-endeavor, voluntary, you know, acceptance or force, so that we try to come out from this, or by practice of some devotion, automatically will be out of these modes?
When we chant Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said that at once we will transcend physical, mental, intellectual and false ego strata and situate ourselves on transcendental platform. Instantly, we will feel the bliss of transcendence. So what is the solution? How to come out of that? Is to chant constantly and perform devotional service. By the practice, continuous practice of devotional service and by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, we will actually, now when we chant Hare Krishna, we go up and we stop chanting Hare Krishna, we can immediately come down. But then gradually, we'll start transcending each and every mode. And one time we'll come to chant Hare Krishna, and after that also we will remain on that platform because we have purified ourselves so much that we will remain transcendently situated. That is the highest perfection of life. So right now when we are in conditioned state, our endeavor should be to chant Hare Krishna sincerely, attentively, prayfully and lovingly as far as possible, and follow regulative principles, associate with devotees and perform devotional service. Even though we are not pure, but perform pure devotional service in the company of devotees. This is the method. When you follow this method, even if you follow, I follow, he follows, she follows, the result will be same. Gradually we will get purified, anartha nivritti, and we will get the taste of the holy name, and we will develop the transcendental platform for ourselves. Okay, so we end here, or shall we continue? Yeah.
Just like you said that, just like when prasadam plate is there, and when I like something, I take that up. So, even amongst the great devotees like Prabhupada, he liked kachoris, and even Mahaprabhu, he liked shak. So, even though other items are there which are offered to Krishna, but they like something from that. So, what is the difference actually?
What I understand is we can't compare ourselves with them. When they do, I say yes. Now, what Sakura Bhaktivinoda says, to accept that shak which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loves is the perfection of my life. I will keep thinking like that only. It's easy for me and it's practical for me and it's also absolute for me. But I cannot act on that platform. Okay, now because I like gulab jamun, it is transcendental activity. I can't do that. But in case of Prabhupada, in case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have liked certain things, you know, and that has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we make for them, offer them on Gaur Purnima and release them because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked it. Most of the times, you know, because we are South Indians, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born in Bengal. So sometimes that shark is absolutely distasteful for us. But still, if we understand philosophically that Aishaka Krishna Aswadilo, Mahaprabhu Aswadilo, and I take it, my tongue may not appreciate it, but my soul will be nourished completely. So with that understanding, I take it. So pure devotees, you know, what they do, Vaishnavira, Kriya, Mudra, Vigyana, Bhujaya, we don't understand how to analyze that, why Prabhupada liked Kachori only. And Prabhupada was 80 years old and Pishima came and he was sick also. So she went and made Kachori and he ate Kachori and he was all right. He was cured, you know. This is not for us to understand with our material intelligence. This is purely transcendental. How a person who is having sickness at the age of 80, you know, fully fried, deep fried kachoris when he eats from his sister's hands, he completely gets well. How we can understand medically? How can I explain to you as a doctor also how it is possible? But this is a fact. The power of love and power of spirituality is beyond our power of medical knowledge and power of logic and power of intelligence. So we only accept that as a fact. That is our intelligence, that we accept it as it is and follow it. We still may not know that chanting Hare Krishna will instantly situate yourself on the transcendental platform. You may not believe it, but you accept it and do it, and one day you will believe it. That is the situation about it. Spirituality and the worldliness cannot be understood or reconciled by material intelligence. It requires purified intelligence to appreciate it. And for purification of intelligence, we chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Just have faith and chant Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.